Jaden, before you are baptized, you will renounce sin, renounce anything that leads you away from God, and you will profess your faith in God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and who calls you to live as his beloved child within the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And it's not the first profession of faith that you will make. You will continue to make that profession because it highlights the values that we have as beloved children of God, such as the fact that our church has these important characteristics that Jesus gave to us. The church is one, the church is holy, the church is Catholic, the church is apostolic. And Jesus reminds us in today's gospel reading about the Catholicity of the church. Looking at the Greek behind that word Catholic, first of all, means whole in the sense of the teaching and example of Christ, which is passed down to us through the apostles across the centuries. But it also means the universality of the church. Jesus came to save people of every race, culture, and ethnicity. And so the church's mission is to proclaim the gospel to all people, as we hear at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you always until the end of the age. So the Catholicity of the church is an essential characteristic given to the church by her founder, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, when people talk about race or ethnicity or culture, they get nervous. You know, in this highly polarized times, which is not unique to the history of our country, they get nervous. I'm sure some people are getting nervous right now, wondering how this homily, what direction this homily will go into. For when we look at the gospel reading, we see on one side the Canaanite woman asking for her daughter to be delivered from demonic oppression. That's one side of the gospel reading. But the other side of the gospel reading is Jesus using a living parable to talk about the universality of the church's mission. Over the past several weeks, we have read from the gospel according to Matthew, and Jesus describes the kingdom of God through a series of parables, illustrations used from daily life to show how we are to relate to God, how God relates to us, and how we are to relate to one another in the sight of God. And many of these parables would be familiar to his hearers, but then it would end with a twist that would cause many of his hearers to stop and take notice and to think about what is he talking about. And the same with us. And through this startling conversation in the gospel reading today, Jesus gives a living parable about the universal nature of the church and about how his followers must be involved in the community to heal the wounds of sin and division, including the demon of racism and prejudice. Because if we are not going to do that, then the world that is affected by original sin will influence the church. I've given you examples during my time here, but I remember when I was ordained a deacon, I had asked a deacon to vest me after the ordination. He, when he was my age, could not fulfill his desire to become a priest solely because he was a person of African descent. That was the only reason. There was no need for him to apply. It would not be considered. There was no need to get references. It would not be considered solely because of his race. The church had been infected by the world, wounded by sin. My grandparents went to St. Peter Claver Church, which was set up as a national church for people of African descent. And then when they moved to a different neighborhood, in those days you went to the territorial parish. And when they first entered that church, they had to sit in the back, in the segregated section of the church. And yet, the deacon who vested me after I was ordained a deacon of the church prior to priesthood, my grandparents who initially had to sit in the back of the church, receive communion last, go to confession last, they knew that this was not indicative of the Lord Jesus Christ who had founded his church and who said an essential characteristic of the church is the universality of the church, and they were not going to go anywhere. In 1974, my mother took my brother and I to a parish, and that pastor said, you would be better off at this other parish. He was not comfortable with us being there. He said, you belong to this parish that's not in our territory. Now, thankfully, there was a different pastor 2 years later, and that parish became my home parish. Because my mother did not give up on the church, she knew that the founder of the church had given the church the essential characteristic of Catholicity. I'm standing here today only because that permanent deacon, my grandparents, and my mother kept the faith, for she knew who Jesus is, even if some followers of Jesus did not follow his teaching and example. They would get up and profess, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and yet they said, well, you don't belong here. Jesus is not afraid to talk about race and ethnicity. And if we say, I want to be like Jesus, well, we need to be like Jesus then. But what's happening in this conversation with the Canaanite woman? Certainly there is the desire, the urgent desire of the woman to have her daughter delivered from the demon. But Jesus also wants to teach another lesson to his apostles. He had sent them out first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now he was going to show them that that was a prelude to going to all the nations. Or look at the prophecy of Isaiah. God wasn't reticent to talk about race. He said that he was building a house of prayer for all peoples from every nation. In the Greek, ethnos, so every ethnicity. The Jewish people were raised up to draw all nations to believe that there's only one God. St. Paul talked about Gentiles, those who were not Jewish, and he talked about the race, his race of Judaism. St. Paul wasn't afraid to talk about race and ethnicity. And we should not. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't see color. Well, you know, I have visual disability, but I see a whole lot of different hues in this congregation today. And there's nothing wrong with that. God created us that way. From a diversity of heritages to profess the common faith. So in the prophecy of Isaiah, the house of prayer will be for all peoples, but they would profess one faith together. And the Lord has called us as Holy Family Parish, but also as a Catholic Church, because of our Catholicity, to rejoice in the different races and ethnicities and cultures that are part of our faith community and how we come together to profess one faith. Some people get upset and they think we're balkanizing people. But no, we're doing what God did. He created a diversity of people, and he said that they could work together. If they're willing to follow Christ and not follow the world. Jesus talks to the Canaanite woman who says, Lord, my daughter is oppressed by a demon. Help me. And Jesus responds with silence at first. Silence. The compassionate Jesus. The woman says, help my daughter, and he does not say anything. but he wants to teach the apostles a lesson. And how did the apostles respond? Did the apostles say, Lord, she's calling for help. Please help her out. No, Lord, she doesn't deserve your gospel. Go dismiss her. We're tired of hearing her call out after us. And Jesus responded by saying, you know, it's not right to give to dogs what really belonged to children. And for some Jews at that time, dog was used to refer to non-Jews. And it was probably an outgrowth of being bitter because a Gentile empire had been oppressing them. But how can you look to the prophecy of Isaiah that we heard this morning? I will build a house of prayer for all peoples, and then say that some people are just like a dog. But then you have the disturbing action of Jesus referring to the Canaanite woman as a dog. What's going on there? Again, this is a living parable that the Lord is giving to his apostles. Certainly we cannot say that Jesus is racist or Jesus is prejudiced. That would mean Jesus had sinned. He sinned against you shall not kill. He also sinned against the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So what's going on here? Because if Jesus had sinned, he cannot be the savior of the world. And some people who are uncomfortable with this conversation in the gospel, they say, well, the woman, you know, enlightened Jesus about the scope of his mission, as if Jesus was ignorant about who he is and what he was about. Again, if we say that Jesus had sinned by saying that that Canaanite woman was a dog, he could not be the savior of the world. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus, again, is giving a parable. He's saying, you know, these apostles want you to be dismissed. They don't think you should be treated humanely. You're nothing but a dog. Jesus said, what do you have to say about that? And the Canaanite woman said, even dogs get the scraps from the master's table. And the implication was not that she agreed that she was like a dog, but she said, I know that I am someone created in the image and likeness of God, and if a mere human being is going to take the time to take care of their pet, certainly the God who created everyone is going to take care of a person created in God's image and likeness. And Jesus said, woman, great is your faith. And it was not only because of her persistence in coming to God. It was not only because of her faith in Jesus as the Son of David, which was a Jewish messianic title. And she was not Jewish. But her faith also included the fact that even though these apostles thought I'm like a dog, I know who Jesus is, and I'm going to stick with him, and I'm going to allow him to do what he is going to do in my life. Oh, woman, great is your faith. You did not allow the sins of others to keep you away from your sinless God. Now, Jesus said, I want my church to be like that. I want my church to be able to say it's a house of prayer for all people who believe the same thing. It is not a house of prayer for all people to believe whatever they want to believe. Now, people may be strong in their faith, people may be struggling in their faith, or somewhere in between, but we're to walk together so that we can come to the agreement of the one faith, the teaching and example of Christ that Jesus has given to us, and that everybody has the capacity to do it. What does this have to do with my daily life? Racism and prejudice still exists. People don't want to talk about it. They don't even want it reflected in history lessons because they fear people will feel guilty. But choices have consequences across the centuries. Good choices and bad choices. And it's important to recognize those consequences so we know what to do in the future. I just marvel that in 2021, there was even a discussion about whether there was any merit in enslaving people. In 2021, and 22, and 23, because this 23 was not the only time this discussion was had. Jesus was not afraid to be controversial and talk about the need to respect people of every race, ethnicity, and culture. And if we want to be like Jesus, we can't be afraid to do so either. And if we say that we promote respect for the dignity of human life from conception to natural death, that includes overcoming the demon of racism and prejudice in society. That's not politics, that's a principle that the Lord Jesus has taught us in the gospel today. And so, the lesson for all of us have the potential to exhibit racism and prejudice, all of us. Will I go the way of the world? Will I kind of mix it kind of together? You know, everybody gets shocked that Jesus said the word dog. How many of us are shocked if a racist word comes out of our mouth, the same mouth that says glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth? How many of us get shocked about that? If I say who I say I am in Christ, then I'm not going to be afraid of who I need to be in society and to influence the world wounded by sin and division to be healed by how we promote respect for people of every race, culture, and ethnicity. That has nothing to do with the pejorative of being woke. It has everything to do to be awake to the gospel that Jesus teaches and not to be ashamed to live according to it.